title of this afternoon's message, Ever Ready, you know, speaking about being ready, Ever Ready, which is not to be confused with a battery brand of, you know, those battery Ever Ready commercials. Although I grew up watching all these Ever Ready commercials, I still know it, and it's not even in English. It's in a Malaysian tongue. But those battery brands, although the idea, of course, you know, maybe in spirit, perhaps, be like those Ever Ready batteries. You know, and I don't know if you what commercials aired here, but the commercials I saw in Malaysia growing up, you know, it would be a dark, stormy night, you know, and this is a fishing boat, you know, and you can't see a thing, but, oh, that's okay, you got your Ever-Ready batteries, and so everyone had your flashlights on, you could shine them in the dark, you know, and all the lights go out in the house, that's okay, you got Ever-Ready batteries, you know, and by the way, this is not sponsored by them, okay, I'm just sharing what commercials I remember, but the idea is, doesn't matter what the problem is, doesn't matter what the circumstances, anytime, anywhere, those Ever-Ready batteries are ready for anything, right? And so that's it, yeah, they're Ever-Ready, always ready. Boy, but there's certainly a lot of application to us as Christians, right? May we be ever ready. And so let's go to Matthew 24, and especially, you know, when you consider the sign of the times, things that are happening in world events, recent events, may we be ready and ever ready. And so let's go to Matthew 24, and then verse 44, we'll start there. Matthew 24, verse 44. This is one of the final sermons, if you will, or teaching, you know, moments that Jesus had with his disciples before his arrest and then crucifixion. And so he's really hammering it home how things will be after he departs, and we're waiting for him to come back, amen. But he's really equipping his disciples with what they need to know. May we follow through. But Matthew 24, verse 44, Jesus says, "Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And so, seriously, batteries aside, on a more serious note, am I ready as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I ready to meet him? Am I ready as a husband to lead my family through whatever comes ahead? Am I ready as a dad? Am I ready as a son? Am I ready as a church goer? Are you ready? Are we ready? Because it's only by God's grace, but may we be found ready for what will come ahead. And so let's bow heads for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be here this Lord's Day, Sunday. I thank you, Father, for just your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your precious word that truly has furnished us unto all good works. Help me, help us to truly be ever ready, no matter come what may, Lord, and we know that perilous times are coming. We know that the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is precious, and it will be sudden and imminent, Lord. We know it's going to happen at any moment. And Father, help us, Lord, to not to be in spiritual slumber. Help me, Lord, not to be distracted or not watching unto prayer. Help me, Lord, to be found faithful. And so, Father, we just ask your blessing upon this message, Lord. Bless Northside Baptist Church and her children, your children, Lord. Help us, Lord, to ever be ready. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's an exciting thing. I enjoy talking about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A couple of food for thoughts. You know that that when he comes back, we know he will be, but when he comes back, may he find me. May he find you ready, right? Not sleeping on the job, right? And so let's go to verse 36. We'll start there. We'll back up a couple of verses to verse 36, or several verses to verse 36. The necessity to be ready, the need to be, and not just ready. And by the way, you can say that it's easy to be ready. It's easy to be ready, but it's hard to be always ready, okay? If it's just kind of a one-time thing, oh, I can do that. And then after that, okay, kind of relax. Let my guard down, go back to how things were. And so you can say it's easy to be ready, but it's hard to be ever ready, always ready. And so I want us to observe not just the need to be ready, but the need to be ever ready, always ready, okay? And so let's go to verse 36. And so the Word of God says, this is speaking about Jesus Christ, when he comes back, the return of the Lord, how it will be at that time. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so Jesus Christ will return. We know that, but no one will know when he will return. Verse 37. So this is going to be the circumstances when Jesus returns. This is how things are going to be, the environment, you know, just society. This is how people will be in general. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what do you mean? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, and Jesus is preaching about his second coming. And what's so amazing is Jesus' return, he foretells us, will be just like in the days of Noah. Well, when, you know, it wasn't as though society was at a standstill. In fact, society was, back in Noah's day, was full of violence, okay? But it was full of, I mean, everyone was doing stuff. It was full of busyness. And that's kind of how it is today. You know, men, the world today, people are living in sin and self and flesh. No spiritual discernment, just doing their own thing, you know, and they might be busy, but busy doing their own thing, busy living their own lives, just like in the days of Judges. And so that's kind of how it is, the mindset that everyone was completely clueless, even though Noah had been there for generations, building an ark, you know, preaching the truth, you know. But even then, when the flood came, everyone was caught off guard. Everyone was like, what? It's too late then, you know. And they were just completely overwhelmed, unprepared for it. They're certainly not ready, had not prepared their hearts for it. And so that's kind of the mindset that Jesus is telling will be in the world when he comes back. That everyone will be kind of doing their own thing. Look at verse 40. In fact, Jesus' return, his second coming, will be so sudden, so quick and so sudden, that people will be literally caught in the middle of their daily routine. Okay? They're going to be, look at the context of verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. So it's like a regular day, just like every other day. You know, they strap up, they gear up, they go out to the field. It's not as though there's a countdown. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, what was this, the last eclipse that we just had? Everyone's counting down, you know, like 5, 4. You know, there's a moment of, what do you call it, totality. You know, I mean, everyone saw it coming. They knew it. They were planning for it. They had, you know, eclipse parties, you know, and whatever, you know. And so people were counting down. There's no countdown here. I mean, this is just a regular day. They're going about their routine. And then shall two be in the field, the believer and the unbeliever, and the one shall be taken and the other left. And so it's just, boom, just like that. I mean, it's just a regular day. And then that's when Jesus comes back. And then two women shall be grinding in the mill. It's not as though one said, hey, I'm not going to grind in the mill today. My Lord is coming back. I'm going to get, you know, it's so sudden that, this is the idea of how it will be like. It's going to catch us in the middle of our routine, of our daily lives. The one shall be taken and the other left. But one takeaway from this is that, yes, we ought to be ever ready. But one of the enemies of being ready is routine. Routine is the enemy of readiness. Because we are to be ready. But when we are in our routine, you know, we're all creatures of habit. That's myself, all of us, you know, we drive the same way to work, or we sit in the same place in church, you know. I mean, it's just kind of how it is. And notice what it says, like eating and drinking. So in verse 38, it talks about eating and drinking. And so the idea is, so much of what we do from day in to day out orbits around our food, our eating, our meals, you know. And we do this until, well, we start off with breakfast. Do this until lunch, do that till we're done, and then dinner, and then go to bed. Next day, wake up, breakfast again, you know. And so much of our life is orbits around the meals, you know. And so eating and drinking, that's our routine, and then rinse and repeat. And I got the week done, and then extrapolate out for a whole year, that's my whole year. And then next year, flip the calendar over, and then let's do it again, you know. And so it's just routine. Routine routine. And I like routine. We like routine. It's a tried and true way that works, so I don't mess with it, right? And it's easy for us to do that. But however, when we are on our routine, like an autopilot or like a cruise control, it can cause us to lose attention to what we're doing. That's the whole point. When it's routine, then it's easy for me to like, oh, same old, but no, God says to be ever ready. And then another enemy of being ready is kind of like life events or life, okay? But if you look at, again, verse 38, yes, they were eating and drinking, but they were also marrying and giving in marriage, which is not wrong. I mean, it's a wonderful thing for wedding bells to try. You know, that's wonderful, marriage and giving in marriage. But the idea is here, life events that happen can distract us from being ready, draw our focus and attention away from what we ought to be doing. Now, some of these life affairs, I mean, you know, they are necessary. Some are unplanned, you know, not that you want it. Oliver's broken elbow, that's a thing. There might be things, you know, your school, your work, maybe auto accidents, you know, or financial issues, health issues, business issues, whatever the case may be. Life is full of events. Things happen. Things happen. We like our routine, but then sometimes there's a wrench that's thrown in there. But the routine is the enemy of readiness. But so are life events. And it's easy for one life event to kind of get me distracted, and then I'm not on guard anymore, right? And so let's go to 2 Timothy, because here's a word of wisdom to us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, because at the end of the day, yes, we all have affairs in life that we have to deal with and we have to resolve and tackle, but may we not get entangled by these affairs, okay? We have to deal with it. Not saying don't deal with it, okay? You know, there's bills we have to pay. We've got to take care of that, yes. But don't get entangled with whatever affairs that we might have in our life. Take care of it, but don't get entangled by it. So let's go to 2 Timothy. Always be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go to verse 4. Notice what the scripture says. She's speaking about soldiers for Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so I need to always be ready. This is the calling for God's people. Always be ready. The need, the necessity to be ever ready. Take care of affairs as they come up, you know, as they happen, but don't be entangled with it. In fact, if you go to verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. Now, there's some context here. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so when we endure hardness, it doesn't just mean taking care of that trial. Now, that's part of it. But the rest of it is not being entangled by it. If I have a circumstance in my life that I'm dealing with, but in dealing with it, I'm no longer watching unto prayer, I'm no longer serving, I'm no longer reading my Bible, I'm no longer praying, because I'm busy doing this, okay? I might have dealt with it, okay? I might have gotten through this hardship, but I've been snared and entangled because I'm not doing what God would want me to do, right? I mean, understand? And so being a good soldier is not just dealing with affairs as they come up, but it's not being entangled by them. So we're still able to fight the good fight. We're still running the race. Life happens. I understand that. But it's not as though when something happens in life, then you veer off the course of the race that God wants you to run and say, well, I can't run the race now because this happened. That's, you know, that's not what God is saying. You've got to be ready. You always have to be ready. And so understand, this is huge. And by the way, food for thought, the scripture, Jesus, he calls it work. Man calls it a career. And just food for thought, you know, if we are thinking a career more so than work, perhaps I'm putting too much emphasis into my work that God wants me to do. Because at the end of the day, I need to be ready. You need to be ready. We need to be watching onto prayer, right? Being faithful, the necessity of being ready. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 24, because point number two, the way to be ready, all right? Point number two, the way to be ready. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, let's go to verse 42 and keep going down. Matthew 24, verse 42. So how do we be ready? Well, Jesus tells us, watch therefore, duh, and watch watching unto prayer, watch, be on guard as a sentinel. Okay, don't be sleeping and sloughing off on duty. Watching unto prayer, to fast, to serve, to witness, to worship. Okay, all that encapsulated in that one word, watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Okay, so we got to watch. But wait, that's more. That's more. Watching makes us ready, yes. But I can only be ever ready when I am always watching. Okay, because don't miss that. That's the crux of the next two verses. Okay, so it's not just watching. It's always watching. Because it's not just about being ready. It's about being ever ready. Look at verse 43. So Jesus gives this illustration of a good man. All right, so a house owner, but he's with it. Okay, he knows what's going on. Okay, he's wise. He's not foolish. Okay, so this you have this responsible, duty-bound house owner. Okay, look at verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. Now, he doesn't. Obviously, we don't know when the house is going to be broken in. We don't. But if he did, he would have watched at a certain time and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And so the idea is because no one knows, because the good man does not know when his house will be broken in, he's got to watch how long? Always. That's the whole point. If he knew that, now, by the way, which watch? That those are the p.m. hours, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the Jewish time, by 3-hour chunks. Okay, so four watches in the night. And so if he knew that the bad guys would break in a third watch, so between midnight and 3 a.m., something like that, then he would stand guard just at that time, hire, security at that time, and then not others. Okay, but the point is he doesn't know when the thief is going to break in, which time at night, so he has to watch always. Don't miss this, because the point is always watching. It's easy to watch one time. It's hard to watch always, but he's got to watch all the time, right? Just like the alarm system, you set the alarm system all night. You don't just set it to come on between 2 and 3 a.m. That's when I'm going to do it. We don't know. I mean, just do it the whole time, right? It's just like guards are posted at Fort Knox. I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming 24/7, right? you don't just guard the goal and then like, oh no, in the nighttime, thieves are sleeping, so we sleep. No, it's 24/7. Just like you call 911, it doesn't just have business hours. It's 24 hours, right? I mean, because you don't know when it's going to happen, when a crime's going to happen, when someone's going to need an ambulance. So 911 is always on, right? That's the hope. Okay, but the idea is we don't know when Jesus will come back, so we have to always watch, because he says he comes as a thief in the night. And so the idea is this good man of the house, and by the way, emphasis on the word good, there's none good but God. And so the idea here is when we are a servant of God, a disciple of Jesus that's doing what the good man is doing, then it is Christ-like. It is of God, what God wants. And so just like the good man of the house watches all night, not just in a particular watch, verse 44, see the wording here, there. Because Christ will come back, we don't know when. Be ye also ready. So we have to be ready just like this good man. This is what Jesus is saying. He's watching all the time, so we got to watch all the time. That's how we are ever ready. For in such an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we always have to be ready. It's easy to watch. It's hard to always watch, right? But God doesn't just tell us that, saying, well, it's going to be hard, wing, so you got a tough uphill. No, God tells us what we need, so that what we can do, so we can always watch. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, because this is, among other things, faithfulness of the house of God. This is huge. And this is how God has designed it. God's word is foolproof if we but obey it. And so this is why coming to church is a big deal. Being in the house of God is a big deal. It helps us to, let's go here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And then verse 23, we'll start there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Yes, it's hard to always watch, but if we do this, it will help. It will encourage us. It's of God. It's a good work. Okay, verse 23. Let us hold fast. That means to be faithful, to hold on, never let go. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. If we say that we are Christians, we should assemble to worship God. That's what Christians do. A profession of our faith without wavering. Don't have to doubt, for he is faithful that promise. We don't have to doubt anything because God is faithful. And let us consider one another. Now, this is not just true distance. This is in person. And so when I see a brother who's struggling, may I consider him and not just be so, you know, caught up in myself and, hey, look at me. No, if I see him struggling, I can encourage him. I can consider him. May we consider one another. I consider you. You consider me. We're all thinking of each other. Are you watching? And then you ask me, am I watching? Am I ready? Are you ready? And so that's what God designed us, because he knows that it's easy to watch, but it's hard to always watch. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good. Just like the good men of the house, there's none good but God. When we do good works, it only comes from the Holy Spirit of God. There's none good but God. And doing his good works, that's how we are a good servant. To provoke unto love and to good works. And so this is what, you know, we encourage each other in a race, right? And then, you know, like if I get hit by some life crisis, you know, and food for thought, how effective I am as a soldier dealing with the affairs of life, you know, ask ourselves, how easy is it for Satan to derail me in watching, right? You know, we see, you know, you ever see those British Queen guards, you know, the big hat, you know, like 3 feet tall hat, you know, and then there's always some tourist that would be me. you're trying to distract them. You're trying to make them flinch, you know. But no, they're not distracted. You know what I'm saying? And then I don't want to be like that soldier who hears a little nothing off, like, ooh, what was that? I think it's a squirrel. You abandon your post just and I'm way late. You know, I'm just taken out of the equation. Don't be that way, right? And so how easy is it for Satan to derail my worship of God, right? I got a stub toe, and so now I'm done. I got to quit the ministry. What? No, what's going on? No, and so, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so that's, be focused and dealing with it. Don't get entangled, but then we can watch and keep on watching. And so this is what the Lord says here. Verse 24, provoke unto love and to good works. If my brother needs help, needs encouragement, if I need help, I need encouragement, you're there. You can tell me to keep watching. I can tell you to keep watching. Let's be ready together, right, as a church family. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So important, because that's how we keep on watching. As the manner of some is, there's going to be those that don't, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day of the Lord, which we don't know what day, what, right? We don't know our time, but it's coming. We know it's coming. But as a thief in the night, so we have to watch always. And can I share with you, friends, you folks bless me by being here. If you're not here, got no one to preach to. It's a blessing that you guys are here. What? Praise God. May we run this race together. May we a church that prays together and that we are ready together, right? That we are ready. Okay, and so it's what a challenge, what a thought. Even in a little bit here, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. That's wonderful. It's a commandment, but it's a privilege to partake in that. And if we do it right by examining ourselves first, it keeps our walk with God holy. Because if we do it with unrepentant sin, God can kill us. He did the Corinthians. You can get sick. You can get sick and die. It's a big deal. It's a big privilege, but it's a big deal. And so as we as a church, as we assemble, we praise, we witness, we worship, we partake of the Lord's table, these are things that God has commanded us to do for our own benefit. It's a blessing to us. And I need it. Because when done right, we confess our sin. It keeps us in a holy walk with God. It's wonderful. Helps me to be watching onto prayer. Helps me to be ever ready. So let's go back to Matthew 24. The reward. The reward to be ever ready. Of course, the need to be ever ready. The way to be ever ready. The reward to be ever ready. Let's go to Matthew 24. Go back to verse 45, Matthew 24, verse 45. And so what happens next? The reward to be ever ready. So who then is a faithful and wise servant? Hopefully this will be us. Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. God has a desire for us. Whatever he's given us, he's put us in charge. Whatever ministry, whatever job, whatever vocation, whatever wherever we are at. But first of all, God has given us, in this sense, rulership. Now, God is Lord. I get that, okay? But he's given us rulership over ourselves. Now, God is the Lord, okay? Don't get me wrong. But he has given us rulership, meaning you literally have the choice and capacity to do whatever you want. You can choose to sin. You can choose to obey. God has given you that rulership. Like he's left you in charge of yourself. Now, he wants us to do right. He chastises us when we don't, okay? But he has given us rulership. And I got no one else to blame when I sin, because it was my call. It was my choice, because God gave it to. Okay, God gave me that privilege. Okay, don't get me wrong. God is in control. I'm just saying he's given us rulership. We're not puppets. We're not automatons. We're not robots. He's given us free will. He's given us the rulership. I can move my arm this way. I can choose to go to the bar, or I can choose to go to church. I mean, that kind of thing. He's given us rulership of ourselves. But he wants us to do something as a household, the servant, to give them meat in due season, to do his job, to be about his father's business, his Lord's business. Blessed is that servant, so this is wonderful here, whom his Lord, when he cometh, which is suddenly and no one knows when, shall find so doing. And so the idea here is when the Lord returns so suddenly, literally this faithful servant is caught in the act, but he's obeying. He's caught obeying red-handed, okay? He's praying to the Lord, even so, Lord Jesus, come quick, boom, and here comes the Lord, and he's found in the house of God. You know, he's found where he should be. That is wonderful. That is awesome. As opposed to the opposite, right? Where he comes back and catches me red-handed, disobeying, or living in sin, or whatever the case is. Certainly not ready. May we be ever ready. Blessed. Verse 46, blessed. I mean, that means happy is a servant. Joyful is a servant. That's joy in knowing that we are ready. We don't know when the Lord will come back. But when he comes back, may we be found ready. There's joy knowing that, not guilt. Not guilting, oh, I hope the Lord doesn't come back right now. This is a bad moment. No, that we are blessed. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Of course, this is a picture of the millennial reign of Christ. We will be with him. You can look forward even more beyond that, when we will be kings and reign with Christ. Of course, he is the King of Kings. But that's a wonderful challenge. Wonderful challenge. May we not be ashamed of the Lord's return. May we not be ashamed at the Lord's return, but look forward to it with eager anticipation, because we are always watching. We are always ready. Be ready. Being ready keeps the church together. Amen. Keeps the family together. Keeps the marriage together. Amen. When the world is turned on its head. Remember the whole COVID thing? Boy, that's just a little sample, okay, there's going to be more to come, okay, and being ready certainly applies to, again, this is, obviously the context is Jesus coming back, but being ready also applies to me going up to meet the Lord, whether collectively at the rapture, or individually upon my death. We don't know when it's going to happen, just like the Lord's return, we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Just like our passing, our dying. We don't know when or how we're going to die. But newsflash, we're all going to die. I mean, we know that. Don't know now, when, who knows. But may we be ready. Are we ready to face the Lord? Are we ever ready for the Lord's return? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought. The need to be ready, always, ever ready. May we truly be ready, Lord, and stay ready by obeying your word, coming to church, praying together, observing the Lord's table, worshiping, singing, witnessing, and watching, Lord, and fasting. And Father, what a blessing to be here. We ask, Father, that even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed as the